Thank you so much, Megan. I'm Carrie Trowbridge. I'm the General Counsel of the New York Community Trust, which is a large community foundation serving New York City, as well as Westchester, Suffolk, and Nassau counties. I've been at the Trust a little over 4 years, which turned out to be very interesting timing in terms of the DAF landscape, what with the ACE Act being introduced in 2021, and then the proposed DAF regs last fall. I unfortunately have to rush out on the dot of four, so if you have questions after that point, I'm sure Caroline will be very happy to answer them, although we are hoping that there'll be some time before four to take some questions.
And I'm Caroline Waldner. I'm at Morgan Lewis. I am counsel there. I've been there, I think, almost 14 years. And in that time, everything and nothing about DAFs has changed. So, yes, I'll be here to answer questions, and then I'll make sure Carrie knows what all the questions were so she can get back to you.
And we have our emails here. So we're they're right up here on the screen. So please feel free to email either of us after. So first, we want to frame our panel by talking about what DAFs even are, how they're typically used, how they work administratively for the DAF sponsor, and how they relate to other types of grant-making funds. Then we're going to go through the salient parts of the proposed regs and their likely impact. And then finally, we're going to talk about some broader implications and where things stand now. Caroline is going to talk about the legal definition of the DAF in a bit, but at the highest level, DAFs are funds where one or more people have advisory privileges over grant making and or investment of the fund's assets. Not many people know this, but my organization has the distinction of having created the first ever known DAF back in the 1930s. It was a situation where a husband and wife set up an endowment fund, but they wanted to have some input on the grant making. And the vehicle turned out to be well-suited to community foundations like mine, which engage donors in a number of ways and offer many different types of funds. But the vehicle, many people know, really took off when commercially affiliated DAF sponsors cropped up in the 1990s, first with Fidelity Charitable in 1991, followed by Vanguard in 1997, and Schwab in 1999. As of the end of 2023, there was over $251 billion in DAFs, with over $52 billion granted out that year, and a similar amount having come into DAFs that year. Organizations like mine developed ways of administering DAFs, but the DAF wasn't codified until the 2006 Pension Protection Act, which of course introduced the statutory definition of DAF and developed a number of rules. And broadly speaking, those disfavored DAFs relative to other types of funds that we hold at a community foundation, but favored them relative to a private foundation. One place that I've found helpful trying to understand certain provisions of the Pension Protection Act has been the Joint Committee on Taxation's technical explanation of the law. It's a very, very large document, but there are a couple of sections that address DAFs in helpful ways. Since then, we've gotten 3 IRS notices focusing on DAFs, or at least touching on them, of which the 2017 notice is the most substantial. I'm not going to go into detail on these, and in any case, they aren't binding, but I think what's important to note is that we've been waiting for 19 years for regulations. And in that time, the field has had to forge ahead with its own understanding of the rules. Now, and you can see we like pictures, so there are going to be a lot of pictures. Now I want to talk about the backdrop against which the proposed regs emerged. We've seen criticism of DAFs in recent years coming from a number of places, coming from academics like Ray Madoff up at Boston College Law School, coming from legislators such as Senator Chuck Grassley and Senator Mike King, from nonprofits that stand to receive grants from DAFs but also do their own fundraising, from some state attorney general's offices, and from some members of the public, including the billionaire John Arnold.